Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Lawnview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
One of the trends that I've noticed during this year of pandemic is that many people have already put up their Christmas lights and their Christmas decorations. You see it on Facebook. You see it out in the yards of people when I'm out walking Pepper. One of the reasons I think the early church fathers decided to celebrate the birth of Christ in the month of December, during the darkest time of the years, is because it was just quite simply a good reason to put up the lights. It's the darkest time of the year, and what better time to celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus with light than the darkest time of year? I will be really honest. I don't like this time of year. I like 6 months opposite on the calendar when we're in May and June.
You don't like winter.
I love Christmas, but I hate this time of year because of the darkness. And I'm not talking about the holidays. My favorite time of year is May and June when there's all this daylight from like 5:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. But I'm one of those people who craves light in my life. I need it. It gives me what I need. And when the sun is out or the sun is down out there, I think we find a reason to get, lights on around the house. When the sun is out during the wintertime, I don't know about you, but I tend to gravitate towards windows. It's like, get the windows open up, let the sun shine in. Our front door points to the south, and when the sun hits in the middle of the cold winter, I'll open up our front door and I'll stand in that front door, and the heat that gathers between the screen door or the storm door and the front door, it's like standing in June. It's just wonderful, and it just feeds my soul. Light lifts our spirits. Light gives us hope, and light gives us a reason to really keep moving on. And without light, the darkness can really bring us down as human beings. As humans, we are wired, I think, to thrive in the light, physically, emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. We are wired for light. We need light in our life. And this notion of light plays into who we are when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Last week, we began talking about a series of sermons to help us tap into how belief in Jesus should be influencing our identities here on earth as we live our lives. And we discovered that the scripture really clearly spells out that when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we are adopted as children of God. We are princes and princesses in the kingdom of heaven who are finally able to fully realize our very important person status. Remember, we talked about that last week? And when we are adopted and we're able to realize our status in God's eyes, we're able to enter into this intimate first name relationship with the Heavenly Father. Remember, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, Bop. We can have that first name intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father as we receive Jesus into our hearts. Some people, I think, struggle with this relationship with God as Father because they have had a strained relationship with their earthly parents. But I think it is wonderful that through Jesus Christ, we're able to have an authentic, healthy, pure, and intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, maybe unlike any relationship we've been able to experience here on this earth with one of our earthly parents. What a gift that we receive when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. And we concluded last week that as children of the living God, we, you and I, as believers in Jesus, we are royal. We are royalty. And I think that brings, for me, that brings hope and joy and peace and comfort and contentment to my heart. And I hope it brings it to your heart too, that we mean that much to our Heavenly Father. But I think that the impact on our personal identity doesn't stop there. Yes, we are royal. But this week, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to take a look at what Peter, upon whom Christ said he was going to build the church, Peter, the disciple, he has some things to say about the impact of Jesus on our personal identity. And in his first letter, in 1 Peter, if you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, in his first letter, Peter is talking to the church specifically about how belief in Jesus impacts who we are from the inside out. And Peter fleshes out more deeply who Jesus intends for us to become here on earth as we wait to go to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here in this letter and in this specific chapter, Peter is describing Jesus as the cornerstone of God's plan to save humanity. And we talked about the cornerstone a couple of weeks ago in Bible study or something like that. But Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the first. He's the stone around which everything else is built. And Peter's using this construction metaphor to describe how when we accept Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior, Jesus gathers all of us up and brings the children of God together to build what we know as the church, the bride of Christ. And he's talking about this impact in 1 Peter chapter 2 that I think really takes us to the next level in terms of who we are in Jesus Christ. He says, now to you who believe, he's talking to believers, he's talking to people who've accepted Jesus into their hearts as their personal Savior. Now to you who believe, this cornerstone, Jesus, is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. And then in verse 9, he says, but you, those of you who believe, you are a chosen people, a royal, there's that word again, you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a wondrous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Dear friends, Peter writes to the believers in the church, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from all sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives. Live such good lives among the pagans, the non-believers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Do you see it in that passage this morning? Hopefully you have your Bible open. Hopefully you're able to look at those words on the page, whether it's on your mobile device or your actual Bible. Peter acknowledges that we are royal right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, but he takes it a step further. We're not just royal. When we believe in Jesus as our personal Savior, we are a chosen people. We become a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. Did you know that if you believe in Jesus, you become a priest? You might respond to that this morning and say, I'm not called to preach, Pastor. I'm not sure about that claim. I didn't say you become a preacher or a pastor. Peter says, when we believe in Jesus as our personal Savior, we are a royal priesthood. I want that to sink in this morning. That doesn't mean you have to have the authority to marry people or baptize or serve communion sacraments. That's the work of a priest or a pastor with a capital P. But every believer, everyone listening to this who believes in Jesus Christ, you are a small p priest. You are a royal priesthood. That means that even though we're not official or we're not ordained, or we don't have a minister's license given by the church, our lives as believers are to reflect the role of the priesthood that had served in the Jewish temple. And so I just want to take a couple of moments this morning to reflect on what it means to be a small p priest, what it means to be a part of this royal priesthood if we are believers in Jesus. And just to clarify, this isn't just for some believers. Peter is addressing all believers when he is talking about this. This applies to every single one of us. So you need to lock in with your ears and with your heart and listen to what the word tells us about what it means to be part of the royal priesthood. Let's think for a moment or two about what it is that a priest does. We're just going to break it down very simply so even Remy can understand it this morning. We're going to break it down that easily. First of all, priests work at the temple. That's where priests work. That's their workplace. A priest works at the temple. We've talked about this before, okay? You've heard me talk about this before. When we accept Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior, our bodies become the temple of God. That's something that Paul teaches in Corinthians. It's biblical. When we receive Jesus into our hearts, our bodies become the temple. In the Old Testament, the temple was the geographic place where heaven intersected with earth. And deep within the temple, if you read the scriptures and read the description of how the temple is set up, there was this place deep within the temple called the Holy of Holies. And that was behind all these curtains in the center of the temple. And that is where God took up residence, in the Holy of Holies. Now, you'll remember when Jesus died on the cross outside of the gate of the city, something happened in the temple. As we read the story about the crucifixion and the suffering of Jesus on the cross, when he gave up his spirit and died on the cross, there was a great earthquake. And in the temple, the curtain that ensconced the Holy of Holies was ripped in two, revealing that God no longer took up residence deep within that one geographical place within the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Instead, what happened when we accept Jesus into our hearts, we get to invite Jesus to take up residence. We invite God to take up residence within the temple, deep in our hearts, deep in our souls. Through the Holy Spirit, the Holy of Holies is now located deep within us, within our souls. That's why we become part of the royal priesthood, because God is working in our hearts. Because God is doing that, we are small p priests, because priests work at the temple. And if the temple of God is in us, we automatically become priests. We are at the temple all the time if we're believers in Jesus, walking in step with him. It informs who we are. You are the temple of God. God resides in your heart, and therefore you become a small p priest. So let's talk about what priests do at the temple, okay? That's the second point today. Priests, their main job is intercession. That's a big word. We're going to break it down this morning. Priests intercede between God and the creation. Priests intercede between the Creator and his people. Jesus, we're told in Hebrews, is the great high priest, and he sets the example for us as the royal priesthood. Christ is the ultimate intercessor, making it possible for you and I to have a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, what he did is intercessory work, making it possible for us to have a relationship with God. Through the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, he paid the price for sin once and for all. So no more sacrifices have to be offered up, and it enables God to take up residence in our hearts. The work of intercession, big word, what does that mean? The work of intercession is to go up ahead and to make the connection possible. Go up ahead and make the connection possible. It makes me think of early American history as the country was expanding from east to west, and there were these men and these companies that invested in laying down railroad tracks so that the trains could roll supplies and people out throughout the country. And somebody had to go and build those railroad tracks so that everybody else could follow behind. Those railroad track layers, all of those men and those companies, that was intercessory work, because they were going up ahead and making the connection on the frontier possible with where everybody else was. That essentially is what it means to be an intercessor. And just as Jesus went up ahead to make it possible for us to have a right relationship with God, so too we are called to intercede for those in our circle of influence who don't know Jesus yet as their personal Savior. And you see it right here in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "You are a royal priesthood, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You've personally already walked the path to the cross if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You've already surrendered to Jesus. You, if you're a believer in Jesus, you've already gone through that process of being restored and reconciled to God. And now it's not only our jobs to live morally upright lives, reflecting the holiness of God and Jesus in our hearts. Now our job is to live our lives so that it declares the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. Do you see that there? You may not be a preacher, but as a small p priest, the way you live your life should be sending a message. And that message should be drawing other people to Jesus. And that leads us to our third and final point this morning. Priests, not only do they work in the temple, and not only are they intercessors, they're making the way possible, but priests are living witnesses. Living witnesses to a dark world that needs a little light. Living witnesses to a dark world that needs a little light. A witness is someone who has seen or experienced something that others have not. My job as your Big P pastor, and Pastor Vicky's job as your Big P pastor, I believe, is to regularly remind you of what is really going on. There's more going on than meets the eye. We talked about that this fall in our series sermons. There is more than is meeting the eye, and it's my job as your pastor and Pastor Vicky's job as your pastor to remind you of what's really going on. Also, my job as a pastor, Pastor Vicky's job as a pastor, as Big P pastors, is to invite you into worship. Think about what we've done just this morning, even with the reading of the Beatitudes and with the singing of songs in prayer. Our job as pastors is to invite you into worship with one another of our living God. My job as pastor, Pastor Vicky's job as your pastor, is to shine light on the truth, to shine a light on the truth. And that truth is necessary for all of us to hear and to absorb so we can grow in Jesus Christ. And sometimes that truth, that comes through a sermon like this that we preach to you. Sometimes it comes through a lesson that we teach in a Sunday school class, or like on Wednesday night when we do Bible study. Sometimes it's just simply through a conversation that we have. But our job at the end of the day as capital P pastors is to shine light on truth that will help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. But ultimately, if you boil all that down, my job as a pastor, Pastor Vicky's job as a pastor, is to be a signpost pointing people to Jesus. My job as a capital P pastor is to be a signpost that points people to Jesus. That's the work of a capital P pastor, but it's also the work of the small p priests who are believers in Jesus Christ. Sometimes the darkness of this world can be so overwhelming that people simply can't get their bearings. Sometimes the darkness can be so overbearing and so overwhelming that people can't tell up from down. Sometimes the darkness can be so overwhelming that people have trouble telling right from wrong. Confusion, misinformation, fake news, they all cloud our ability to see the truth, to perceive the truth, to see what's really going on. The darkness seems to be pervasive. It seems to be everywhere we turn. But Peter reminds us in this passage this morning that we are not only called into the wonderful light of Jesus Christ, we are also called to let that light shine. To let the light shine through our lives in the words that we speak, in the places that we choose to go, in the way that we live our lives, in the choices that we make, in the way that we treat people, in the way that we love others. Let your light shine. As small p priests, Peter says, live such good lives that they may see. Live such good lives that unbelievers may see Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is hard to see in the dark. It is very difficult to see in the dark. We take our little puppy out in the dark at night, and I always take a flashlight with me because I don't know where she's at. She's got black fur, and she's really hard to see in the dark. I need light to help me see because it's hard to see in the dark. But when we choose to live in the light of Jesus Christ, we help others to see not only our good deeds, but we also help others to see their own need. You get that? I want you to write that down this morning because you're not just living for yourself. What you do, what you say, how you act matters. When we choose to live in the light of Jesus Christ, we help others to see not only our good deeds, but their own need. We're shining light in the way that we live. When we choose to live in the light of Christ, our lives become like Christmas holiday lights on a cold, dark winter night. The darkness is overwhelming. The darkness is paralyzing. But the light not only helps us see, the light brings us hope. The light brings us joy. The light brings us inspiration. The light brings us warmth. And the light brings us light and life. And ultimately, it points us to Jesus Christ. That's what big P pastors do. That's what small p priests should be doing too. If we're serious about this business of following Jesus, our lives as big P pastors and small p priests should be pointing people to Jesus. Our lives should be signposts. We are not just saved, friends. We are not just saved so we can go to heaven when we die. I think sometimes we put on the attitude, we're not supposed to just be hanging on for dear life as we go through the pandemic in 2020. And hoping that we will just kind of make it through the hardships of life. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. It's not about making it to heaven by the skin of our teeth and getting there and saying, that was a close one, Jesus. When we believe in Jesus as our personal Savior, if we really are serious about it, it should begin impacting our personal identity and our core purpose in life. Following Jesus is about learning that everything that we do should be pointing people to Jesus. Yes, we are saved from our sins when we believe in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we are adopted as children of God. Yes, we become royalty. That's what the scripture says. But we are also becoming a royal priesthood whose job it is to be shining lights in a dark world, pointing everyone around us in the direction that they'll find Jesus. Now, there's a different letter in the New Testament, and it's written by a different person. It's written by the Apostle Paul, and he was writing to the Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he puts it this way. Paul says to the Philippian church, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." He's like, continue to learn what it means to love God and to love one another. That's what it means to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, royalty, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." We are royal. We are called to shine like stars. We are called to hold out the word of life. We are called to be pointing everyone we encounter towards Jesus and the things we do, the way we conduct ourselves, the choices we make. We are all called to be part of the royal priesthood. So friends, this morning as we wrap this up, my prayer, my hope for you is that as you go into this Thanksgiving week and reflect in gratitude for all that God has done for you and your family, my prayer is that you would take some time also to reflect on how are you doing in terms of pointing people to Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about one part of your circle of influence. I'm talking about reflecting on how you're pointing people to Jesus in your entire sphere of influence. You're going to be running into some family this week. How you interact with them, is it pointing them to Jesus? You think about your relationships in your workplace. Are you pointing people to Jesus even as you're a professional and getting things done that you need to deal with? In moments of adversity, how do you handle yourself? Are you pointing people to Jesus? When you think about your neighbors and your neighborhood, are you pointing people to Jesus? And really, even in our households and in our direct families, our immediate families, are we pointing people to Jesus in the way that we live our lives? You are a child of the King. You are royal. You are a royal priesthood. And if we're serious about this business of learning to love God and learning to love others, we will be allowing it to inform not only our identity, but our core purpose and how we live our lives, pointing people to the cross of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.